Hey, and welcome to the Joy Church podcast. If you'd like more information, check us out at www.joychurchnh.com or visit us in person at 55 Barnstead Road, Pittsfield, New Hampshire. We hope you enjoy and are blessed by this message, and now on to this week's sermon.
Well, good morning. Last week we started this series, The Final Countdown, and I have to be honest, I was a bit concerned that the teaching and the details about prophecy might be a little boring, but boy, was I wrong. We had the most views on our live stream that we have ever had by quadruple. And some of you are like, why are you telling us that? That sounds a little like prideful or whatever, but no, what does that mean? It confirmed that people are hungry and that people want to know. So that's a great thing. So last week and going forward each week, in case you're just joining us in the middle of the series, I'm going to kind of go over, reiterate the order of events every week for the end times so that we all understand and we understand where we are in this message series. There definitely is a sequence of events, and it starts with what's already happened. You know, Jesus came to earth. He was born of a virgin. He was fully man. He was fully God. He did miracles. He taught his disciples. He told them things that would happen, and they actually happened. He was crucified, a horrific death on the cross. He took on all sin, past, present, and future. He suffered more than any of us can possibly even imagine, no matter what we've been through, way more than that. He died. God raised him from the dead 3 days later. And so we refer to that as the first coming of Christ. Then there's the church age. That's what we're living in right now. This is the church age, the time between the first coming of Jesus and the second time, because he will come again. He hasn't come yet, but he will come again. And so as we live in this time that we call the church age, we're called to be vigilant. We're called to be prepared for the next pivotal event that's going to happen in God's timeline, and that's the rapture, where Jesus will gather his church, what Kevin was referring to at the beginning. And that's what our focus is today. That's what we're going to be talking about today. Jesus comes for his church. Then after the rapture, there's a seven-year period, a period of great tribulation, and we're going to talk about that next week, and that one is difficult. That is, we want to talk about being raptured and have the excitement build and the joy of all that, but when we talk about the tribulation, that's not where we want to be, and that's not where we want our loved ones to be. And then at the end of the tribulation, the second coming of Jesus takes place, where he comes with his church, with all the people that believe, and we have this great thousand-year reign, a great period of peace and joy where we're all together with Jesus here on earth and Satan is bound up. Then comes the great white throne judgment where Satan, demons, fallen angels, but also unrepented sinners, they're eternally no more choice, separated from God. And then we have our incredible new heaven and new earth. I posted this on Facebook. I was able to get this great pamphlet on prophecy. It's, again, by Dr. David Jeremiah. But it really is cool because it shows all the things that I just talked about, and it coincides with all the chapters in Revelation. So it's a really good study guide. And I posted on Facebook where you can go and get your own copy. And if you get a copy, I ask that you try to get three copies so we can give them out to other people here. I'll have it in the back if you want to take a look at it. And there's also a PDF that you can download, but I highly, highly recommend it. It's been very, very helpful to me as I've been studying. About a month ago, just about September 11th, right? We sat around, we remembered 23 years ago how the world changed really in a moment. And every year when that date comes, I, like probably a lot of you, I watch the videos And I remember where I was when I found out what was happening. I remember how old my children were when we heard the news and how that whole day just kind of unfolded. What was I thinking when I heard about it? Everything changed, and we didn't know what was going on and how mind-boggling all of that was. And I had heard a story about a man that was actually sealed in a soundproof, like walk-in refrigerator at 9/11, and he missed that whole initial impact. And when he came out, the whole world had changed. When he came out of there, it was totally new. He emerged to discover this brand new world. And that's really the closest that my mind can come to even thinking about what the rapture will be like. Go ahead, let's watch this video.
When the rapture occurs, the world will capture the moment. Cell phones, security cameras, law enforcement body cams, doorbell cams, and more will all bear video record of the great disappearance. The world will reel with concern from watching the strange, mind-boggling, and unbelievable video footage that goes viral across the globe. People vanish before their eyes, and all caught on camera. This event won't be science fiction, conspiracy theory, or mindless speculation. When Christ comes for his people, it will be in the twinkling of an eye. Between the resurrected dead and the rapture, billions of people will exit this planet in an instant, but billions will be left behind. It will be chaos on our globe, but incredible, glorious joy in the skies. This is the rapture, the great disappearance. It is vital to know what the Bible says about this coming day, the next event on God's prophetic agenda for the earth. Are you ready?
Yeah, wild, wild. The Bible tells us, though, Matthew 24, 40 and 41, it says this, two men will be working together in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. So just like that, just imagine with me, people like the video showed just disappearing in broad daylight. They showed a picture of a church, and the one thing that got me is not everybody was taken in that church. So just because you step foot through the door of a church, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, you'll be left behind. Millions mysteriously missing. People all over this world just disappearing in a split second. And if you're still here when that happened, you're going to suddenly realize that this world will never, never be the same. There's never been anything like it, not even close. The chaos, the confusion is just going to reign. Fear. Everybody is going to be like, what on earth just happened? And then some people who have heard of the end times, who maybe have read some of the Bible, who maybe had a friend, maybe it's you that have talked to one of your loved ones, they're going to say, oh, that's what they were talking about. I think some people will try to explain it away. Like, you know, UFO abduction, some like secret weapon that vaporizes people, but they are not going to be able to explain it. Scripture is very clear. It tells us the only reliable source is God's holy word. The word of God, which predicted in detail by Jesus 2,000 years ago, the amazing fulfillment of biblical prophecy. the rapture is going to take the world by surprise, but it's been anticipated and expected by Bible-believing Christians ever since Jesus returned to heaven after his death and resurrection. And this event will mark the beginning of the end. So what is it? What is it? This rapture that the Bible tells us will happen. Where do people go? Who will go? How does it relate to Jesus' second coming? Is it too late for my family? Is there hope? These are all very, very important questions. And I believe nothing is more important for us right now than understanding the rapture, because the rapture is the catalyst for all the events that are coming upon the earth. The Bible tells us that the rapture sets in motion a series of disastrous calamities that can't be reversed or stopped. The word rapture, you won't find it in the Bible, but there's a Greek word, harpazo, and that word is translated rapture. And what that means is to carry off by force, to seize or to carry away. So this rapture, this event, it signifies the fulfillment of Jesus's promise to his followers. And what does it offer us? It offers us hope and assurance that believers will be spared from the coming tribulation. Wonderful. I'm going to read you some scriptures here. 1 Corinthians 15 is the first one. It's in the New Testament, if you're new to the Bible. Starting in verse 51. So 1 Corinthians 15, 51. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever, and we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. And then 1 Thessalonians 4, starting in verse 13. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so that you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. Amen. It happens, it will happen in a twinkling of an eye, a moment, very quickly. Jesus himself will come to get his people just as he promised us he would. And he comes with a commanding shout, the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God. But interestingly, no one on earth will see him or hear him. In Revelation, it says, every eye shall see him when he comes back for the second coming. But when the rapture happens, it's going to happen quickly and quietly. In John 14, when Jesus was about to go away after his disciples had kind of understood his death, burial, and resurrection, at least a little bit, Jesus was talking to them and he's trying to prepare them for what was to happen, and they didn't understand it. Some of them said, Lord, where are you going? And Lord, how do you get there? He's not going to come all the way to earth, but he's going to remain in the air. And that 1 Thessalonians 4:17 reminds us, as his followers were caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. He comes to gather his people on earth and to bring us to heaven. First, the bodies of the dead believers. So these are people that we all know who have accepted Jesus as their Savior and then have died. They've died. It says, first, the bodies of the dead believers who have died will be resurrected and rejoined with their perfected spirits that Jesus brings with him from heaven. And scripture, I know when I first started reading the Bible, I was like, what is this talking about? It refers to those that have died as being asleep. As being asleep. When Christians die, it's if our bodies are peacefully in a place of rest. Just asleep. Just hanging out in this, you know, hotel of asleep. Ready to be awakened by Jesus when he comes. And that's why we get to understand death in a different way than the world sees it or even grieves it. When we bury our loved ones that are believers, it's like they just peacefully sleep until the resurrection, until Jesus comes and raptures them. Isn't that beautiful to think about it that way? And they're going to have a prominent place when Jesus starts the rapture. 1 Thessalonians again 4, the dead in Christ will rise first. Death for us that believe in Jesus, know that it's not the end. It's just a temporary separation of the soul from the body. And that means that those of us that are alive at the time of the rapture, we go second. Okay, I was like, Jesus really wants to make a point there. They go first, we go second. But even though those of us that are alive go second after those asleep, from what we call in the world dead, it's a split second. It's a split second after the resurrection of the deceased believers when we go. So I don't even think like we're going to hardly know the difference. It's in the time that it takes us to just blink. Boom. There we are. He's got us. And he's got all all the people that we love that have died that believed in him there together. But the other piece of that is that we won't even have time to know what's coming. We talked about this a little bit last week. There's nothing that has to happen before the rapture occurs. Could be right in this room before we go home today. Could be tomorrow, could be next week, could be next year, could be however many years. We don't know. We're going to be totally transformed inside and out. Our spirit's perfected. We're going to be given new bodies that are fit for heaven, immortal, incorruptible bodies. Just imagine. Romans 8:23 says the redemption of our body. And Paul tells us in Philippians 3:21, the moment when the Lord Jesus Christ will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. Yeah, hallelujah. 1 John 3:2, we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So what will these new bodies be like? There's a great theologian, Dr. Arnold Fruchtenbaum. He said it this way. It's possible that information as to the nature of the new body may be gleaned from a study of the nature of the resurrected body of Jesus. We know that his voice, Jesus' voice when he was resurrected, we know that his voice was recognized as being the same one he had before his death and resurrection. John 20:16. I'm just throwing out, I have tons of these scriptures. His physical features were recognized, though not always immediately. It was a very real body of flesh and bone, not just some phantom body, since it was embraceable. John 20:17 and 27. The resurrected Messiah was able to suddenly disappear and go through walls. Think about how fun that's going to be. And for all of us that like to eat, it was a body that was able to eat food. So we know that's coming. Luke 24:41. A brand new body, like the resurrection body of Jesus, awaits every single believer in Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah. Just let your mind go there. Imagine the joy of being reunited with our loved ones, transformed and perfected in a place prepared by Jesus himself, and a place beyond our wildest dreams. I like this. Dr. David Jeremiah gave us this to think about. He said, think about the rapture as a great magnetic process. Jesus came and he hovered over the earth, and all those believers who had died and those who never died were snatched up like particles of iron, pulled right out of the population, suctioned off the planet. It's going to happen instantly. No time to get ready. No signs. Nothing to let us know it's coming. So it can come any day. The Bible also tells us, again, in 1 Thessalonians 4, then we who are alive, then we will be with the Lord forever. Forever. That deserved an amen. Here's kind of a recap, okay? When the rapture occurs, the deceased believers' resurrected bodies are reunited with their spirits. Living believers are instantaneously caught up and transformed inside and out. Resurrected believers are reunited with living believers. Resurrected believers and raptured believers, they meet the Lord in the air. And this is the time when we will never, ever be away from Jesus again. And with our deceased family members and friends who believe for eternity. What a glorious day. Have you noticed how many times I repeated the word believers? It's the most important piece. It's the most important part of every single thing we do here at Joy Church. It's all about Jesus. It's all about following him. It's all about helping people take a step to surrender their life to him. Because eternity is for believers. And we have a job to do. Our job here on earth. I was listening to something the other day. You've probably heard this before. It said, some people are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. Right? Like when I said, oh, I'm not preparing because the rapture's going to happen. If that's what we did, if we just did sit around and eat bonbons, like Jesus is coming. He's coming. You know, nothing would get done. We have a job to do while we're here on earth. We need to help people take that step to surrender their life to him, to help them understand what is at stake here, to share the good news, because it is good news. I'm going to step back for a second and just hopefully give some clarity and answer a couple questions that are very, very common. A lot of us ask these questions. They come up regarding children, and they come up regarding cremation. People that will be eternally separated from God. They have to refuse the offer, the free offer of God's saving grace. Children that are too young to understand, they can't willfully refuse it. Your children, they will be raptured or resurrected. If you've had children that died young, they're going to be with you. They're going to be resurrected. Those that you might have had a miscarriage, those kind of things, a child die in the womb, God loves them. He knows them. He has such a tender heart and such compassion. He loves every child from conception in the womb and really even before time began. They will be there. They will be there. And as far as cremation, you know, lots of people are like, well, oh, well, how, you know, if the bodies are going to be, well, 1 Corinthians 15:37-38 say, what you put in the ground is not the plant that will grow, but only a bare seed of wheat or whatever you are planting. Then God gives it the new body, and he gives it the new body that he wants it to have. A different plant grows from each kind of seed. And so whether we have a body in a grave to be resurrected, or our body is to be, or, you know, somebody we know was it was destroyed by cremation, by fire, or even some other disaster, an incorruptible body will be resurrected to join with Jesus in the air. Cremation does not in any way prevent us from experiencing the fullness of heaven. So I know those are questions that I've had over the years, and I thought I'd just stop and answer them and hopefully bring some peace in that. And I have a lot of scripture on those things, so if you want it, if you need to have more clarification, come and see me. The rest of your questions, remember, bring to Mike. But that one I'll give you. So back to the rapture. So why is it that people vanish? What is the purpose of that? The rapture ends this age. It ends this time that we're living in right now. And the time between when Jesus came to earth the first time, he suffered, he died, he took on the sins of the world, he was resurrected, and he ascended into heaven. The time between then and when he will come again, the final age of human history that you hear talked about as the end times. The rapture, it starts that. It's like it's this like divine spark that starts the prophetic countdown to the end of time as we know it. And so here's the answer to that question. Jesus will come and snatch us up so he can rescue us from the horrific devastation that is to come in the tribulation. He promises us, and he's taking us out so we don't have to experience all of that. And last week when I told you people have all, you know, lots of different views on the end times, when I said we take the pre-trib stance, that's why. Pre-tribulation, the church will be raptured before the tribulation. The tribulation is a time of horror. It's going to be agony. It's going to be devastation like nothing any of us have ever before seen or probably can even imagine. And God will fulfill his promise that he made to his disciples that all true followers of him will be rescued, snatched up in the air from earth, right into the presence of the Lord, without dying, and before that terrible time of tribulation is unleashed here. We are promised deliverance from this wrath, 1 Thessalonians 1:10. And then I love the next verse that Jesus, he comforted his disciples with. Remember when I said they didn't understand and they were asking him, like, you know, where are you going? How do you get there? This is what he told them, John 14:1-3. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Kevin and the team, if you guys would come. The rapture is the fulfillment of that promise in John 14. He's gone to heaven. He's preparing a place for all of us, that one day soon he's going to come back and he's going to take us up to meet him in the air. We're going to go to the place that he's been preparing. Now, if he was able to create this earth in 6 days and rest on the seventh, he's been working on heaven thousands of years. Can you just imagine? Can you just imagine what it's going to be like nothing we have ever seen or can imagine? And this is the hope of every single believer in Jesus, that before the great and horrible tribulation breaks out on this earth, we will be taken to be with him. Next week, we'll talk about the tribulation. The final book of the Bible, Revelation, tells us that Jesus is coming, how he's coming, and what the condition of this world will be in when he comes. Revelation means the disclosure of that which was previously hidden or unknown. In Revelation 3:10, Jesus promised his followers, "Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world." The rapture is phase one, or like the first stage in the final event of the end days, events of the end days. And people a lot of times know the end times as the second coming of Jesus. Let me tell you, we want to be part of this rapture. Every single one of us, our family, our friends, we do not want to be left behind. We don't want to be here for the next phase. The Bible tells us, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Paul Powell says it this way: every page of the Bible says today. Every tick of the clock says today. Every beat of your heart says today. Every obituary column seems to cry out today. All of God's creation seems to cry out, today is the day of God's salvation. Our hope is only in Jesus. So what about you? Do you know him? Have you surrendered your life to him? Have you asked him to forgive your sins and to be your Lord and Savior? Let me tell you what, he never turns anyone down. Never has and never will. Today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. Don't wait. Embrace his love. Secure your place in the eternal hope he offers. Let's bow our heads. And for you today, if you would say, I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, there hasn't been a point in time where I've surrendered my life to him. And as you've been talking today, Kathy, about this rapture and what is coming, I was thinking, I'm not sure where I stand. You can know. You can be 100% confident that you will have eternity with Jesus. And I want to lead you in a prayer in a minute. And at Joy Church, we don't want anybody to feel singled out. So we all pray together. But if that's you today and you're like, I want to make that decision, I want to know. I want to be with Jesus. I want to accept him. You can just pray quietly after me. And again, nobody's going to be praying alone. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I surrender my life to you. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I give you my life today. Thank you for saving me and allowing me to spend eternity with you. Amen. Just keep your heads bowed. Just keep your eyes closed, everybody, for a minute. No one looking around. If you just made that decision today, if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, or even rededicated your life to Jesus after a long time, would you just slip up your hand so that I can see it? I'm the only one looking around today. Hold it high so I can see your hand. And those of you online, all of you, I see your hands. Praise Jesus, I see your hands. He said yes. He said yes. If you're online, would you just type it in the chat? Say, I gave my life to Jesus, or I said yes. Something so we know, because I want to pray for all of you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for those who just gave their lives to you for the first time or rededicated their lives. Those here in this room and those online. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving their sins in an instant. Right when they asked, you said yes. Thank you, Lord, for saving them so they can spend eternity with you, empowering them to just live their lives fully for you. Would you give them peace, Lord? Give them hope and excitement as they begin this new journey and awesome life with you, Jesus, until you come back. We love you so much, Lord. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message and were blessed by what you learned. If you'd like to hear more of our podcasts or to get more information about our church, head to our website at www.joychurchnh.com. We look forward to hearing from you and sharing with you next Sunday's sermon. Until then, we love you, and there's nothing you can do about it.